Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We're talking to an individual that has some 257,000 baseball cards, and they're all Chicago Cubs. And that ain't nothing. He's going for a million. And we're talking about our good friend, former radio colleague, an Anawan native who now lives up in Wisconsin, Bo Thompson. You're going for a million Cub cards. Great to have you on the air today. I thought this was almost an urban legend. You're going to try and do it, huh? Take it away. Where'd this idea come from?
Well, I've been a baseball card collector since I was a kid growing up in the 80s, and over time, I've just accumulated, a lot of Cubs. That was kind of always my the target of my collection. And as time wore on, especially when I moved up to Wisconsin, I really started buying more and more cards, going on Craigslist, buying collections, and acquired at the point a little over a million trading cards total. And figured, a lot of these cards I don't want, and they were overproduced 80s and 90s for the most part, a lot of the cards. And I figured, well, if I can trade off some Red Sox, Yankees, Dodgers, and your team, the Astros, and get Cubs cards in return, why not trade off a million cards I don't want and acquire Cubs cards?
Okay, so we're talking about, you have doubles, triples, quadruples, whatever you want to call it, of Cubs cards. So this is a weird question. So of the baseball cards you have that are Cubs, what's the most player you have the most of, I guess?
Probably Ryan Sandberg, because I will actually, kind of target Sandberg cards from other collectors that maybe, there's a former minor league baseball player who played for the River Bandits in the mid-90s, and he's out in Oklahoma. He's a huge Kirby Puckett collector, and he has somewhere around 200,000 Kirby Puckett cards.
Oh,
and yeah, so he and I traded a few months ago, and I had about 800 Kirby Puckett cards, and he sent me 800 Sandberg cards. I had a guy out of the blue trade me almost 2,000 Sandberg cards a couple weeks ago, so in time, I've received a lot of Sandberg cards. I don't have a count on individual player cards. That's eventually I'll get organized and have a more accurate count of how many Sandberg, et cetera, that I do have.
All right. So let's get into definitions here, okay, can we? So a Cub card, I would assume, now this is like baseball cards for dummies here, Bo. So a Cub card would have to be basically, right, a player in a Chicago Cub uniform, or are there some minor league cards you have too? How does this madness, or no, wait a minute, how does this hobby work, I guess?
Well, for me, and this is tailored, collections are tailored to each individual collector. So in this chase for a million Cubs cards, they are Cubs cards in Cub uniform. I also include minor league cards when the Peoria Chiefs were a Cubs affiliate. Now they're in South Bend. So those cards I also count. And a few times over the course of baseball card history, there may be a 1989 Topps Kevin Kaufman. He's in a Braves uniform, but on the front it says now with Cubs. So I do count those as well. But for the most part, it's players in a Cub uniform.
All right, and quickly for our listeners, again, the Twitter account is at 1 million Cubs. That's at 1 million Cubs, and you spell out 1. And then there's a website, 1millioncubs.com. You spell it out. So you have 257,000 some odd Chicago Cub baseball cards. So how many baseball cards overall do you have, and can you describe what that would look like to our listening audience? Give us some type of image where they would understand. And this is a guy that is married. I don't believe you have any kids yet, but
no.
I probably should be interviewing your wife about this project too, or maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, she's very understanding. So basically, I have the count would be between 1.5 and 2 million total cards. That's not an that's just an estimate, but you know, I know that my SUV can fit 300,000 roughly cards.
Wait a minute, your SUV can fit 300,000 cards. So that so that's like front seat, back seat, and the hatch area, and basically just a little room for the driver, I assume.
Correct, and it would probably it's probably a moving violation when you start packing that many cards in an SUV because my mirrors are obstructed, so I have to be careful. So the basement, my wife and I built a house a couple years ago. She had free reign of and has free reign of all the decor on the main level and the upstairs. And the basement is mine, so I get to put baseball cards in every nook and cranny. I have a card room that's probably 20 feet by 16 feet, those are shelves, and the floor is covered, the shelves are covered. There's an adjacent closet that is basically, it would be about 15 feet deep in length, and then probably 6 foot in width. And that closet is completely filled with boxes of cards, stacked taller than I am, so 8 feet. And I mean, there's you can't even step in. It goes from the door to the back wall. So, and then there's some spillover in the storage room as well.
All right. So yeah, I remember growing up, you know, and I had a baseball card collection, nowhere near 254,000, but. You know, I used to tell my mom, like, hey, don't you throw that stuff away. You leave that alone. And they still have some baseball cards that I had back in my homestead where I grew up at. Now, has there ever been a situation where you have accused somebody of, I know you threw some of these cards away, mom or wife or whoever, because I can't find them?
Actually, no. When I grew up, I was a kid, you know, I was born in 82, so that gives you a timeline. So when I grew up, when I was a kid and I started collecting, the baseball card boom had already taken off. So back in the late 80s, baseball cards were, you know, as good as gold. So it was, they were already very collectible by the time I was a kid, so... my mom knew, you know, how important these baseball cards and how potentially valuable, you know, these could pay off my college tuition in 15 years. But obviously things didn't turn out that way with the overproduction.
All right. So here's, you know, something too that, like, of your collection. If I said, what is something that you're most proud of? And I'm talking about specifically as it relates to your 1 million Cubs project. Again, the Twitter site is at 1 million Cubs. We're talking about 1 million Chicago Cubs baseball cards. If I said, well, show me something that you got that you're most proud of. Oh, sheer volume, I think, is pretty impressive. But is there something that, like, you from a collector standpoint, I don't know if there's like a baseball card that relates to the Indiana Jones Ark of the Covenant. I don't know if there, probably only you would know that as it relates to Chicago Cubs baseball cards. So what is it?
Probably the oldest card that I own is from 1887. It's an old judge, player by the name of Duke Farrell. And it's a set that it's among the oldest. I wouldn't say mainstream because they're, you know, few and far between. Every once in a while one pops up on eBay, but since it is the oldest, it is authenticated, so I know it's really from, you know, the 1800s. So that's probably the number one card in my collection.
Now is he a Cub or is he another player?
Well, he is a Cub. Back then they weren't the Cubs yet. They were the Chicago White Stockings. But it is the Cubs organization.
All right. And so just in terms of what collecting is, now, when you look at some of the cards, and I know collecting isn't what it used to be in terms of, I'm talking like modern day collecting of getting baseball cards of today's player. Like when you said you were 1982 when you started collecting, you were collecting basically baseball cards from the 1982 season or basically the previous season. So what is the collection market like now? Is it basically a bunch of people looking for, you know, get a life? No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure you probably heard that bad joke before. I mean, is collecting now basically looking for the old cards, like baseball cards? Everybody says, well, you know, try to find the Honus Wagner card or whatever. I mean, is that what it amounts to now, trying to look for those type of finds?
You know, it's actually taken an interesting turn here in the last couple of years. There's been a boom. Probably started with Aaron Judge 2 years ago, where the modern rookie card is actually making a comeback, where, you know, Don Mattingly kind of started that rookie card boom in the early 80s, and that has kind of come back, where in the last 10 years or so, the what is called in the hobby hits, where it's an autograph card in a box or pack, a jersey relic, where it's a piece of jersey inside the card. Those are still what is attracting collectors to basically gamble on buying packs and boxes. But here over the last couple of years with Aaron Judge, Cody Bellinger, the rookie card is kind of making a comeback with just a regular, what they call a base card, which is just a regular card you pull from a pack that you would have pulled back in the 80s without any autographs or the hit cards in the packs, you know, 30 years ago. So that's kind of making a comeback. A lot of collectors my age are coming back to the hobby because there's more disposable income. They remember back to when they were a kid and they couldn't afford a 1986 Don Russ rated rookie Jose Canseco because they were $100 30 years ago, and now they can be had for about $10. And you can buy those cards that eluded you as a kid collector with no money. And now you can buy those cards on the cheap, and vintage is always a popular target among collectors, because as you get older, they do become more rare, and their value either stays the same or increases as time goes by.
So, you know, when I think about like collecting baseball cards, I think about it from a kid perspective, and you mentioned you were born in 19. Did you say 82? Is that right?
82.
Yeah. You know, I was born in 1967, so I remember, you know, basically buying baseball cards when your mom went to the drugstore or the five and dime. Get me a pack of baseball cards, mom. You know, but I'm saying, so collecting is more of like an investment or whatever, more for the serious collector. Like, I don't know what street you grew up on in Anawan, but I grew up on 4th Street A in Hampton. So, you know, we collect baseball cards, trade them, things of that nature. You know, put them in a Nike shoebox, and that's probably the worst thing you could do with a baseball card collection. But none of that goes on anymore, does it, or does it?
You know, I'm kind of far. I don't have kids, so I'm removed from what it's like as a kid in the hobby. But there still are, you know, guys my age and older that do trade. I made a couple trades in person at a card show in Chicago a couple months ago, and that still does go on. You know, I think now that as adults, you know, we think of things more fondly from the past and you know, almost curmudgeonly. You know, the hobby has changed. It's not like it used to be. But I think in reality it is, but as time goes by, you know, things do change the hobby's progressive, and it's definitely changed over the years. But I think still in a sense of how we grew up, there's still a little bit of that in the hobby.
All right, when you decided one day, say I like baseball cards, I grew up, you know, collecting them when I grew up in Anawan, but you know what I'm going to do? I have decided I'm going to collect 1 million Cubs baseball cards. So I'm sorry, that sounds like just a crazy idea, and most people out there listening are saying, who's this dude you talking to? Like, he wants to get a million Cubs baseball cards, and I bet you he does it because he's passed a quarter million already. So he said the light bulb goes off, voila, honey, I'm going for a million baseball cards, and then your mom's probably, yeah, he gonna do it probably.
You know, yeah, it was over the years. I love to blog and write, and over the years I've always wanted to do a blog about the Cubs, and I started several. You know, a couple were baseball card related, a couple were history related, and they just never took off. And that's something that I always wanted to do, and tie the two passions I have, baseball cards and Chicago Cubs. And I had all these cards, like I said before, and I wanted to swap them for Cubs cards. And then I thought, you know, just going out and trading for Cubs cards, it's going to be a slow, tedious process. And I, having a million cards total, I know how much, you know, how many a million cards looks like, and it's going to take a long time to acquire that amount of Cubs cards. So I figured if there's a hook, and, you know, I can reach out to collectors via some crazy goal, maybe I'll find more trading partners quickly. And lo and behold, that's kind of what's happened over the course of the last 12-13 months. So that's kind of how it all began.
Well, and I know with what you do through social media and, you know, the avid collector you are, and I know you go to some of the different Cubs convention things, you know, you're getting a little attention that way, because I've seen some of the pictures on social media with some of the different Cubs players. And when I upload this interview to our site, and I'm going to include the one with there's a picture you had taken with a great 1980s Cub, Leon Durham. So do some of those dudes like say, you really going for a million Cubs baseball cards? And why are you doing that?
That's the most common response. Really, and why? I hear it all the time.
And I mean that, but I'm sure that's led to some nice conversations for a serious Cub fan like yourself too. I mean, you're doing this for fun. You're doing it for the right reasons. But I know to have that type of I don't know, what do they call it, an icebreaker when you're at these events, and I'm sure it can even lead where the guy walks away and Leon Durham will say to, you know, on the other side of the room, Bobby Dernier, you see that dude over there, he's trying to get a million baseball cards, Cubs baseball cards. I mean, have you had stuff like that?
I have, and it, you know, it's like you said, it is a great icebreaker, and going to, you know, the Cubs convention and the events at Club 400 in the suburbs, it's a family, and it's not just baseball cards, but it's Cubs, and then you do find other interests, and we can talk baseball cards, even, you know, if somebody is not a collector or hasn't collected in 20 or 30 years, and that's, I think, the most fun part of this is not getting, you know, to this point 257 some thousand Cubs cards, but the relationships that have developed, and the trades, and just the conversations over social media. Or the Cubs convention is this weekend, and, you know, there's several people that I've met at past conventions or other events or on social media that we'll meet up, have a drink together, and just talk. So the relationships, and I think that's key with any hobby, any job, any industry. And, you know, I was in radio, worked with you, John. Was John Hoscheid was my first boss in radio, and that's the one thing. I'm no longer in media. But that's the one thing that when people ask me, and I get asked all the time, do you miss radio? And the number one thing is I miss the relationships, and I miss seeing Jim Taylor at a Macomb Mercer County basketball game, and various coaches and parents. And that's the one thing that relationships, that's been probably the best part of collecting all of these Cubs cards is meeting these different people.
And amen, Mercer County and Macomb should be in the same conference too, but that's subject for another day. So the other thing I thought about, you know, when you do something like this, you know, people around you have to be understanding of it. You know, whether it be your when you're growing up on the mean streets of Anawan, you know, your mom said, yeah, you know, this is something I don't have a problem with. And then, you know, getting married and still wanting to get a million Cubs baseball cards, man, your wife must be pretty understanding. Has there ever been a point where, you know, somebody within your family or your wife or maybe even your in-laws are like, dude, you can't keep doing that?
You know, I get a lot of eye rolls from my wife, and usually she knows when there's a collection that I'm eyeing, or if I'm going to make a big trade or a purchase from Craigslist. I'll be like, so this afternoon I'm going to go to DeKalb and pick up some baseball cards. And I get the eye roll, really, you need more cards. But she has she is very understanding, and I'm very fortunate. And she even bought me some baseball cards and eBay gift cards that she knows that was spent on baseball cards for Christmas. So very fortunate.
So I'm just curious. So you say overall, did you say about 1.5 million cards you have?
Yeah, between 1.5 and 2 million.
And 257 of those 1,000 are Cub cards. Have you placed like a value? Do you know what the value of that would be?
No, and I have been asked that before, and I really don't even want to think about it.
Do you have it insured, or does that come with like a homeowner's policy where you have that insured? And are all those on your property, or do you have to like have a, you know, 16 storage units out on the back 40 somewhere to put some of those in?
No, they're all on my property, and I've thought in the past and not seriously, but you know, what if I rented a small office space for these cards? And I think that would just take the fun out of it, because then it, you know, it's off site and I can't wake up and, you know, brew coffee and go downstairs and sort cards. So yep, they're all in my basement. So I've actually stopped buying collections because I ran out of room. I have other space in the basement, but that would intrude on our storage space, and you know, that's where my wife draws the line. Like, you have your space for cards, and it's full.
All right. So I was curious. I was thinking about this when you were explaining that. You know, how many cards? Do you ever watch Breaking Bad, that series, at all?
No, I haven't.
Oh shoot! Because there's the one scene where there's a storage shed, and of course they're keeping their illegally obtained money in it. It's like millions upon millions of dollars, and I can't remember if it's Bryan Cranston's character or the Jesse Pinkman character that's ruling. They're in a one of those storage lockers or whatever that they rent, and one of those rental units, and he's rolling around on top of all this like millions of dollars of cash. And I thought, well, there's a sight for you. Bo Thompson could be rolling around on top of 1.5 million baseball cards. And I was thinking, so when you walk in your house, because I know you built a new house up, but you live in Madison, Wisconsin, or that area right now. If people walk in your house, they say, well, is that new house smell? No, it's the smell of 1.5 million baseball cards.
You know, you wouldn't even know it. You know, you walk down, and my wife actually decorated the basement. So it's really the card room and the closet next to it filled with cards. If you shut the doors, you wouldn't even know that there was a baseball card in there. So I've concealed it well. But obviously when people come visit, you know, my wife is directing them downstairs. You have to see all of the baseball cards. And usually there's a jaw drop and a whoa.
So I'm curious, what are the storage methods then? How do you store them?
Most of them are in just what they would call monster boxes, which are 4 or 5 row boxes. You can fit about 5,000 cards, you know, per box. Most of them are stored that way. Some are in binders with pages, but for the most part in boxes.
All right. And I know I've joked about this with you before, you know, whether it be a private message or something. You know, you've told some of these, like, stories where you know, when you're trying to pick up a collection, and you've met somebody maybe through like Craigslist or something like this, and you're meeting them in some like location to exchange to pick up this card collection. And I'm almost, you know, I just, for some weird reason, I'm thinking of the voice in the movie Joyride, the character on the CD, Candy Cane. What's gonna happen to you? Give me like the, as we wrap up here again, talking with Bo Thompson. He grew up in Anawan. He's a former radio guy, worked for John Hoshite at the former WHHK, worked down at the K100 in Macomb as well. And the Twitter account is 1 Million Cubs, and the website is 1MillionCubs.com. Give me like the strangest, weirdest thing you have been involved with in terms of some kind of story. And people that are listening will say, Taylor, he's collecting a million Cub baseball cards, dude. That's the weirdest thing. Give me like a strange or weird type of thing, collecting wise, that stands out, if you could.
Oh gosh, you know, there, for the Craigslist purchases, there haven't been. In fact, I've probably bought maybe five or six collections from Craigslist, and I think probably three of the five or six were, the sellers were actually in law enforcement. So that was, that made me feel safe. But there hasn't been any, you know, you hear all the horror stories on Craigslist transactions. There haven't been any Craigslist stories, but there, one creepy part, maybe probably on my side, we were at the Chicago card show in November, and I actually had two run-ins with professional athletes. The first was, I was making a trade with a guy who was a vendor at the show, and I traded off about 30,000 cards for 30,000 Cubs cards. And I met him in the loading dock, and I drive up to the loading dock, and I didn't have a pass to be there, but there was nobody watching the gate, so I just parked there and hoped the vendor was going to come out quick before I, you know, was told to leave. And there was a big man, 350 pound guy, leather jacket, pacing back and forth, and looked at me as I pulled up. So I rolled the window down, and he goes, "Do you know whose car this is?" And I'm like, no, I don't. And this guy looked like he was about ready to choke somebody out. And I looked back, and I recognized him. It was Frank Winters, who played for the Green Bay Packers, and actually he was a Western Illinois graduate, played for the Leathernecks. And so I thought, hey, this guy looks pretty upset. I'm going to break the ice. Yeah, I'm a WIU grad. And so I waited, and we were the only two in this area, and I had the window down, and I go, "Are you Frank?" And he looks at me, "Yeah." And I go, "Hey, I'm a Leatherneck." And he just kind of nods like he could care less, and turned around, and he was dropping F-bombs left and right, and like, man, I need to get out of here. And then, so that was the Friday night. So Saturday, we're eating at Denny's for breakfast before the show, and we're in line paying, and I look out in the parking lot, and here comes a guy, and it looks like Wilson Contreras of the Cubs, and he's with his wife, and walks in, and you know, I said, "Hey, Willie," gave him a fist bump, and yeah, I didn't want to attract any unwanted attention because we were leaving. He was just arriving to eat breakfast, so I didn't want him to get mobbed. So we were staying at a hotel next door, and we get back to the hotel room, and you know, I say, we should wait out in the parking lot, stalk him out, and get him to take a picture and sign an autograph. So my buddy I was with said, "That's a pretty good idea." I said it half jokingly because it does sound pretty stalkerish. So we sat there, and all of a sudden, maybe we should do that. I mean, it's right across the parking lot, might as well. So we walked over to the parking lot and stood out for maybe 5 minutes, and here comes Wilson Contreras and his wife come out, and he was very gracious. Him and I took a selfie, signed a baseball for my friend, and you know, on he went. So that was, you know, we made it less stalkerish than it sounds, I guess.
All right. Well, when you when you told the story about I pull up to the loading dock because I need 30,000 baseball cards, I'm like, yeah, that's the weird part of the story, folks. But no, that's not it. All right, before we wrap up, small school sports. I know you still follow, even though you live in Madison, you're still connected with some of the things that go on in Illinois high school sports, and I know you still follow. So you just, you know, the in your involvement, I know you help out with the Illinois High School Glory Days website. You miss high school sports, or just what are some of your thoughts as we wrap up here?
You know, I do, and like I said before, I really miss the most of what I do miss, because I still dabble in broadcasting, but pretty much just the softball state finals now in East Peoria. But I do miss the relationships, you know, the friendships that develop in covering high school sports, whether it's with fellow broadcasters and newspaper people or coaches, and you know, watching the players grow up from high school athletes to student athletes at the college level and becoming adults. That's probably the biggest thing I miss. And now I'm very intrigued, because I've been following what's going on with the districts in football, and I'm very interested to follow that and see how this all develops in the next couple of years.
Yeah, and then the eight man starting to take off with eight man football, and I know a lot of the small schools that you're so familiar with growing up, it'll be interesting to see if some of those bite the bullet and go in that direction.
Yeah, and you know, for selfish reasons, I would love to see Anawan break off and do the eight man, just to bring back Braves football. You know, I had so many fond memories as a kid growing up, and Anawan had some very successful runs in the postseason in the late 80s and early 90s, and I really miss you know, watching a Friday night football game in Anawan, since they're co-op now with Weathersfield, only get the one homecoming game. So for selfish reasons, I would love to see Anawan break off and do eight man.
All right, well, and I know that's going to be a lot of discussion here over the next several months, especially leading up now in 2021 to the district scheduling coming into play, and I think now about 10 or 11 teams going to eight man football for next school year. All right, Bo Thompson grew up in Anawan, Illinois, former radio guy in Illinois, still does the IHSA state softball finals, now works up in Madison, Wisconsin. Again, his Twitter account for this project, at 1 Million Cubs, and the website is 1millioncubs.com. And he's at 257,000 and counting as we speak. So if you got Cubs cards, get a hold of Bo Thompson on Twitter. Man, great story, and keep up the good work. And I can't wait, because I know you're going to do it. I can't wait till you get to 1 million Cubs, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jim. Give my best to John.
I certainly will. Bo Thompson with us. 1 million Cubs baseball cards. We should all try and do that. All right, more coming up on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.